but we are going to record today. Okay. So we've been talking a little bit about the principles of knowing the commands of Christ, where we're supposed to do those things that Christ has commanded us. And indeed, we're supposed to teach others to obey everything that he has commanded us. So that's why we're taking the time just briefly in weeks to look at some of the things that he's commanded us so that we can at least do it for the week ahead of us. Today, we're going to look at the command that we're supposed to love, bless, and pray for our enemies. Love, bless, and pray. Well, that's, I thought we're just supposed to love our enemies. Well, there are other passages that also say we're supposed to bless our enemies and pray for our enemies. Well, some of us would just like to go and shoot some of our enemies, but we're not supposed to do that, by the way. You know, the preacher didn't say that you could go do that. No, he didn't. We need to love, bless, and pray. Here it is. You have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. And that's easy to do, right? Unless some of our neighbors are our enemies. No, they wouldn't be. But it's easier to love the people that we want to love and hate the people we want to hate. However, God said, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. So there we have the love and also to pray. Now, it's sometimes easier to pray for those people who mistreat us. The challenge is to go further and to actually love them. But God's saying, step above that. Go beyond, because we have a capability that other people don't have, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that we can not, we are not, we don't have to do the natural thing. We can do the supernatural thing. And the supernatural thing is to love our enemies. After all, isn't that what God did? While we were still sinners or enemies of God, Christ died for us. So there we see the extreme example of God loving his enemies, us, and therefore we are to be like God. In other words, loving your enemies. And also pray for anyone who mistreats you. Don't pray this way, oh God, grind them and crush them and slice them and die. No, that's not the way we should pray. But rather what we should pray is, Lord, bless them, show your mercy to them, soften their hearts. Wouldn't that be good things to pray? Yeah, it would. Love your enemies and be good to everyone who hates you. Ask God to bless anyone who curses you. It's all so upside down from the way the world. You curse me, well, I'll out-curse you. That's what the world would say. But God says if somebody curses us, what are we to do? Bless them. And pray for anyone who is cruel to you. Now, the reason that we want to be blessing other people, because that then puts us in a place to be blessed by God. If we curse other people, that puts us in a place where God cannot bless us, because we have stepped out of his divine plan, which is to bless other people. So we want to love other people, pray for them, and bless them. Now, is this always easy? No, it's not. You know? So God's asking us to be like him. While we were yet sinners, even when we were against God, he loved us. For God so hated the world? God was so angry at the world that he gave his only son? You see, it just doesn't follow. God so loved us that he gave. And so he's commanding us to not act out of our old nature. And so the Holy Spirit can release his fruit of love in us. In other words, to enable us to love both neighbors and enemies. To love family, and sometimes family are enemies. Isn't that sad? But you don't want them to be. However, sometimes they are. But we still need to love them, forgive them. Somebody called it the LAF principle, L-A-F. Love, accept, forgive. Those are good principles. Love, accept, forgive. So this is what the Lord has told us, that if we're going to obey some of his commands, here, is it three commands or one command? Well, it's three things related to one entities. Love, bless, and pray for our enemies. So let's remember to do that during this coming week, to love, bless, and pray for those who would present themselves as our enemies. Okay. Well, we've been talking about the basic habits of a disciple. We've already talked about that one of the basic habits of a disciple will that they will be in the Word of God. How can we know God unless we know his word? Because his word is what he has communicated to us. We've also talked about basic habit of a disciple is prayer. Now, last week I was up in Prince Albert, and they requested that I come up to the church up there and teach on another basic habit of a disciple. And so, first of all, I want to thank Errol for taking the service and Irene for looking after the service. So I missed you guys, but I was up there. And they asked me to come up and do an extended teaching on tithing. And it was a very good thing. So that's another basic habit of a disciple. We're not talking about that one today. Here's the basic habit that we're going to talk about. But you see, our old self had habits. Do you see that? The old self has some habits. But we've put on a new self, and therefore we're going to put on new habits. Guess what? We can choose our habits. You can change your habits. Well, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. It's the way you've chosen to be. Well, I just have a bad attitude. Well, then change it. But that's who I am. No, it's not. You see, there's a whole issue there. So we want to change our habits to fit the new self. And God is continually renewing us in his image to bring us into a full knowledge of himself. So today, the basic habit that we're going to talk about is hearing God's voice. Every believer can hear God's voice. All believers can hear God's voice. So we all can. Notice what Jesus said to Adam and Eve. God blessed them and said to them. Notice what happened? God said. So right away, at the beginning, God's communicating to human beings. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the ground. So here's God starting out from the beginning that we have the capability of hearing God's voice. It's built into us as humans. Until Adam and Eve sinned. Now, did they stop hearing voices? No. That we can still hear the spiritual realm, but we are less able to hear God's voice. The first thing that any non-believer needs to hear from God is this. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the first thing that they need to hear, and that they will hear. Then the man and his wife, that's Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is after they listened to the other spiritual voice, and that was Satan. So they had the capability of discerning the different voices. And I've got a little chart here today that I'm going to give you that's going to help you to be able to discern which voice you're hearing so that you can make the choice. But here they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, we're able to hear God, able to hear the movements of God, know and recognize God. And they, Adam and Eve, hid themselves among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Did God really need to know where he was? You mean God didn't have knowledge? What was God calling Adam and Eve to do? Step forward and acknowledge themselves and what's happened. Step forward and face the issues. And Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. You know how often people are still this way? Even believers. They hear God's voice and then they get afraid. So because they're afraid, they don't hear God's voice. Or the devil lies to them, well, if you listen for God's voice, you're actually going to hear me. Which right away is a lie, which right cause us to be paralyzed into fear. The Lord said to Abraham, okay, the Lord had said to Abraham, I think the question was raised a number of weeks ago, how did God speak to Abraham? And we really don't know. However, we can anticipate through the scriptures and even the teaching today some of how God spoke to Abraham. It wasn't an unusual thing, that obviously, to Abraham. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. So God was speaking to Abram. That's many years, centuries later, perhaps, from the time that God was speaking to Adam and Eve. So Abraham left. God spoke. Abraham did what? He obeyed, as the Lord had told him. You know, he was 75 years old when he set out. So he wasn't a young spring chicken. There you go. It's not a spring chicken. He was a fall chicken. The Lord spoke. Abraham obeyed, as the Lord had told him. And that's what we need to be doing, because all of us as believers have the capability of hearing God's voice, and because we want to be obeying as the Lord commands us, that's a good thing. Now, when Moses also was one that heard God's voice, he was tending the flock of Jethro. So this is after the time that Moses was in the basket and found in the river and all of that. 40 years, he had to run for his life because the Pharaoh was about to kill him. So then 40 years, he was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And of course, then what happened? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So he thought, oh, that's kind of an unusual situation. Maybe I'll go and investigate it. You see, it was a spiritual situation. It was a supernatural thing. And when we do see the supernatural, we need to investigate it. Now, we need to understand that not everything supernatural is of God. Of course, that's clear, right? Not everything supernatural. However, much of Christianity has gotten so far from the supernatural that they don't even recognize God when he's there. Well, we're trying to get back to the place where we can see the supernatural and be able to recognize when it's God. Then when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Start of a conversation. Who initiated the conversation? In what way?
Got attention.
First of all, he got his attention. What's the next way?
Called him by name.
Called him by name. That's important to remember. God gets our attention, then he calls us by name. And Moses then, of course, answered, said, "Here I am." That's a very good thing to always say before God. Isn't that what Isaiah said? "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And what did Isaiah say? "Pick me, pick me, pick me. Here I am." Here's a situation that we're going to look at. The people of God were invited to go to the mountain of God. So the children of Israel had already left Egypt. Okay, I shouldn't have made the picture come on so quick. So they were gathered around the mountain of God, and it says, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blasts of the horn, and when they saw the lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. Now, you may want to look at the computer screen to see these pictures. These are actual photos of a lightning storm within a cloud over a mountain. These are actual photos. So if you want to get a little better picture, look at the computer screen there, because it doesn't show up real good here. But you can see why they were kind of scared. All the people of God, 3 million of them, were gathered around the base of the mountain. And they were there to try, and God wanted to speak to them. All three, God said, "Come to the foot of the mountain." And so when they came, they saw, a fantastic display, thunder, loud blasts of a horn, and it wasn't a cell phone, by the way. And when they saw the lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, and they were trembling with fear. Wow. Okay. And what was their response? They said to Moses, "You tell us what God says, and we will listen." Now, was that part of God's plan? No, God wanted to speak to all the people. But don't let God speak directly to us. If he does, we will die. No, they weren't going to die. But unfortunately, you see, that set up a whole system where of the priesthood, where people, well, we'll send a special delegate and he'll go listen to God for us and then he'll come and tell us. And you know what? It still carries on today, unfortunately. There's a special people, you know, the pastors and all them. They can go hear from God, and they'll come and tell us what God wants. Well, I'm here today to tell you that you can hear what God's voice. God wants you to listen. Now, of course, it's always good to listen to what the pastor says too. You know, indeed, it's even better if you check it against the Word of God to make sure he's preaching the Word of God. That's even better. You know, always be checking up on me. That's good. I welcome that because it needs to be from the Word of God. But I'm here to help you, to encourage you. So they said, no, you go and listen to God for us and then come and tell us what God wants. You see, what the problem was, they were overwhelmed by these displays. By the way, this is, I said, actual situations. I think it was from a volcanic mountain. And it was just awesome. Light display, lightning, all kinds of things that was going. So I can imagine maybe it was something like that. Moses said, don't be afraid, for God has come in this way to show you his awesome power. From now on, let your fear of him keep you from sinning. You know what? We are supposed to have a certain amount of fear, and I'm going to change the word fear to not mean scared, but we are rather to have fear as in reverence for God. See, their fear was they were scared. But we need to see that the awesome display of God's power is to keep us from sinning. To see how awesome God is. So instead of fear, which our English language, we right away said scare. No, we're not to be scared of God, but we're supposed to say he's awesome. He's worthy of reverence. And therefore, hence, that fear. But you see, the problem was, this is sort of set up. It was always God's plan for God's all of God's people to hear his voice. Let's not be afraid, because here's what it says. Jesus said this. Somebody read John 10, verse 27, please.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Okay, first of all, who does who? My sheep. What do they do? What do they hear?
His voice.
His voice. And then when they hear it, they follow. My sheep hear my voice. Okay, we know. God says this is common. Anybody who is one of God's sheep, in other words, that you become a believer in Jesus Christ, God said you can hear my voice. Now, God is communicating all the time. So if we're not hearing God's voice, the problem's not on his end, the problem's on our end. And so we simply say, well, God, I'm not able to hear your voice, I'm having trouble. So that's why you're here today. We're going to give you some practical things and try to get you to going so that you know how it works, so that it's easier and set aside some of the myths and fears. Somebody read John 10, verse 14, please. Okay, so notice that God, Jesus said he knows us, but we as sheep also know him. He is the good shepherd. So when we hear his voice, we're going to hear the voice of a good shepherd. There are other sheep, Jesus said, that are not yet of this sheep pen. In other words, unbelievers. I must bring them also. Okay, so when God brings them by the Holy Spirit, what will happen? They too will listen to my voice. You see, every believer has the capability of hearing God's voice. Even unbelievers have the potential of hearing God's voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So we can see that we've got that tremendous promise that we can give to unbelievers. Hey, you will be able to hear God's voice for yourself. When he is, this is talking again about the good shepherd, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, John 10. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, do they hear the stranger's voice? They have to have heard the stranger's voice to be able to run away. But they will able to run away because they do not recognize. In other words, they won't acknowledge it. So we're able to discern between our voice, God's voice, and Satan's voice. And we're going to give you some real practical help today in how to do that. The book of Hebrews says that we are to have our senses trained to be able to discern between good and evil. So we are actually need to have a training time. Our senses are trained. If somebody wants to look up that particular passage, I don't have the reference right now, where we will have our senses trained to be able to discern between good and evil. And likewise, we'll have our senses trained so that we will know which is the stranger's voice and which is God's voice. We can have our senses trained. So, basic habit of disciple is hearing God's voice. Now, what I'm going to do is give you, okay, let's just talk about what God's voice sounds like. God said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. He's speaking to Elijah. And so God's going to pass by. And Elijah, who knew the voice of God, needed a refresher course. Okay? He just finished conquering Jezebel and all of that kind of, it was severe spiritual warfare. And now he was sort of questioning it all. So the Lord said, go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. And then there was a great powerful wind, and it tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Now, was it the Lord's work? Yes, it was. But was it the Lord's voice? But the Lord was not in the wind. But it did go before the Lord. You know, a lot of times we need to be aware, as the move of God is going to come, that we need to make a distinction between that which precedes the Lord and the voice and the presence of the Lord. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Well, surely that's God. Yes, it goes before God. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. The wind, the earthquake. All of us say, wow, great. But let's wait before the Lord so we don't miss him. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. What? Wind, earthquake, fire. These are phenomenal supernatural manifestations. Surely they're God. Yes, they go before the Lord. To do what? Get our attention for the real thing. Just like the burning bush was to get the attention of Moses for the real thing, which was God speaking to him. So likewise, when there's the supernatural that comes, that's a good revelation I'm just getting right now, okay? When the supernatural comes, that's great, let's enjoy it, but it's the opening act. The real thing comes when we're hearing God speak. After the fire came what? A gentle whisper, a still small voice. And then Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice, the gentle whisper, said to him, what are you doing here? So let's be aware that, you know, these powerful supernatural manifestations are great. However, they're supposed to just drive us towards the real thing, which is hearing God, knowing God. Does that make sense? Okay. Somebody read this from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, please. So you will hear something when or where, first of all. It'll kind of sound like it's behind us, but really what it is from within us. Okay. And what is the voice going to say? This is the way. You know, this is the correct way. If we're headed in the wrong way, he'll say, this is the correct way. Over here. If we're in the right way, we'll get the affirmation. This is the correct way. Walk in it. You know, whether we're heading to the right or to the left. Hearing God's voice. What should I do to hear God's voice? Well, we need to recognize that God's voice comes like a spontaneous thought or picture. So I've moved from the scriptures, and I'm going to try and give you some diagrams that are going to be helpful, and hopefully you will be able to say, oh, this is how it works. So God's voice comes like a spontaneous thought or picture. So what we need to do is still our own thoughts and emotions so we can sense God's flow of thoughts within. So that's when it says in the scripture, be still and know that I am God. So what are we supposed to do? Stand still? Yeah, that's a good start. But what else are we supposed to still? Still our thoughts. In fact, we're even supposed to do something, it says in Corinthians, we're supposed to take captive our thoughts into the obedience. We have the ability to capture our thoughts. What else are we supposed to still? So we got our body still, we got our mind still. There's still something else we've got to still. Our soul, which is the seat of our emotions. We need to still all of those so that we can catch God's voice. You see, there's so much other volume of things going on around us that a lot of times we aren't able to hear God's voice until we're able to train our senses. Did somebody find that passage in Hebrews? Hebrews 5:14. That's okay. I'm just going to get it there. Hebrews 5:14. So this is where we need to be practicing and knowing, because in the midst of a situation, you want to have your senses trained. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There is that possibility that you have, when you still yourself and get used to the voice of God, that you'll know that it's God speaking. Now, I'm talking about hearing God's voice for ourselves. This is the principle. We need to be able to learn the principles how to hear God's voice for ourselves. When we get comfortable with that, it's only a short step in hearing God's voice for someone else. That's also called what? Prophecy. But the first principle is hearing God's voice for ourselves. There are slightly different things that you do when you hear God's voice for someone else. But it lies on the same foundation of being able to hear God's voice for yourself. Be still and question that I am God. So we can know when it is God. But we need to do our part, be still, and then God, of course, is always speaking. We will be able to know that He is God. Then we take our thoughts captive to obedience to Christ. We demolish the arguments, and I'm trying to demolish an argument that people say, God doesn't talk today. He's written all He's ever going to say, and it's right here. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. I mean, day by day, the heavens are continuing to pour forth speech. In the book of Revelation, I don't see God sitting quiet. So we need to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowing of God from the written word and knowing of God from the spoken word. And therefore, the way to do it is we take captive our thoughts, every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. So there's a sense in which we take captive our own thoughts because they are arguments and pretensions. You know what the scripture says? The mind is at war against the spirit. So we have to do something about it. What do? We take captive our thoughts. We go and capture the mind and make it submissive to the spirit. Now the world does the opposite. Knowledge, education, all of these things, that's what counts. We silence our other voices. I will often do this. I will say, these are the exact words I say. Satan, I resist you, now be silent. Okay? And I encourage you to do that. If you're writing things down, write this down. Satan, I resist you, be silent. Because that's what the scripture says. Resist him and he will flee from you. But I'm telling him more than just flee, I'm telling him, be silent. I don't want to hear his voice. Is that a question?
No, I'm just doing it.
Okay. Secondly, I speak to my own soul and mind. And what do I tell it to do?
Be still.
Be quiet. Just be still. Soul and mind, be still. I didn't tell my spirit, but I told my soul and mind. Now, I'll do this even when I'm going to prophesy over somebody. And a lot of times, like I said, when we're overseas, we're prophesying sometimes over 30, 40, 50 people a day. Prophesying over whole churches. I'll do exactly this. Now, the next thing I do is fix my eyes of my heart upon Jesus. There's a principle that works this way. The flow of the Spirit follows that which we fix the eyes of our heart upon. Somebody read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2.
We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. Now he is seated at the right side of God's throne.
So we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Because what does he do? He leads us and he makes our faith complete. Where is he? He's sitting at the right hand of God's throne. So we must fix our eyes. There's another whole teaching about how we should not pray through an idol. There actually is the capability for believers to pray through an idol and get an idol's answer back. And you say, how can that work? Well, it can. The scripture talks about it, but that's not the principle. Yeah. Do you catch the point that I'm just touching the peaks of the mountain today? I'd like to go into much of the depths. We're just touching on the peak. So I'm giving you practical steps. Fix your eyes of your heart upon Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. After we've done that, we've silenced other voices. We've learned to be still. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We now look and listen. We see God's pictures and hear his voice. And this is the passage that you read this morning from Habakkuk. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me. In this passage from Habakkuk, there are four key principles on hearing God's voice for yourself. And I kind of incorporated a lot of them throughout. But this is where you'll find them. Four key principles in Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 2. Take them, take this verses sometime, and see if you can identify the four things that you should do. I will keep watch to see what he will say. See, say. Well, I thought see was a verbal thing. See was an I thing, and say is a hear thing. But I will keep watch to see what he will say. See, we need to understand that in the language of the spirit realm, visions and pictures are just as much the communication of God as our auditory words. So that's why we look and listen to see God's pictures and also hear his voice. There are times when he will show us a number of pictures. Now, we need to be able to discern the pictures and make sense of them, and that's for another teaching. But in the spirit realm, that's why dreams and visions and all these things are just as much the voice of God as is the actual auditory speaking of the words. And that's where we need to come attuned. Most of the time, we dismiss those things. You'll probably discover that the inner thought and vision comes so easily. If you followed these steps, it'll come so easily, you will have a tendency to reject it, thinking it's just you. But if you've done the steps that we've talked about, you know, going back quickly to looking at them, recognize it'll come as a spontaneous thought or picture. Still your own thoughts. Take your thoughts captive. Silence the other voices. Fix your eyes on Jesus and then look and listen. You will find it'll come so easily. You'll tend to think, well, this has got to just be me. But it's God. Because we're wired to be able to hear God. And we've taken the appropriate steps. Okay. I'm going to change what I've just taught you into pictures, diagrams, okay? So first, we've talked about a spontaneous thought. God's voice is like a spontaneous thought, a spontaneous idea, spontaneous word, spontaneous feeling, a spontaneous picture and vision. What's the common word in those five sentences? Spontaneous. There's the key. It's spontaneous. It's like, here's our normal flow of thoughts, right? Everybody has a flow of thoughts. You could probably think back and say, this is what I was thinking 3 minutes ago. Well, we don't want to know right now. But most of us can, because you know it's a flow of thoughts. Here's our heart. I'm representing it like this. Now, when God speaks, it'll be a spontaneous flow. It'll usually cut across. And for how long does it last? It's in a flash, but it's mixed in with our thoughts, right? It's a flash that crosses our thoughts. You know, it may even occur a second time. How many of you had that? You had something flash across, and it's like, where did that come from? Oh, well. And then all of a sudden, maybe, I don't know how much, your thoughts continue, and it comes again. Phone Joe. Well, what's that? I don't know what that is. He's okay. I'm not going to do that. You're driving along, working along. It comes again. Phone Joe. Where did that come from? Okay, we begin to recognize that those kinds of things are often God's spontaneous thought. You know, it'll be, you know, it'll come. But it's not part of our direct line of thinking. Okay? All right. Let's talk about the way the Spirit will communicate in the interaction between God, the Holy Spirit, and us. So first of all, we've got God, right? He's smiling, he's happy, he's got the crown on, he's in charge, right? So I thought that was a good smiley to represent God. Now, here's our heart, or which really is our spirit. We call it our heart, you know, because the scripture calls it, but we know it's our spirit. And in our spirit, it resides the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is resident with everyone who's a born-again believer. If they're not a born-again believer, where is the Holy Spirit?
Outside.
Somewhere, trying to influence them. But we're talking about those believers. We said all believers can hear. So the believers have the Holy Spirit. Now, we also have a soul. Okay, the soul is the seat of our emotions. This is also where we often have hurts and wounds and memories and bitternesses and anger and unforgiveness and all kinds of things that are going on, right? It's our soul. Now, we also have our mind. These are the things that we've learned, we've trained, we've thought. Now, there are times when we can have our mind ruling over our soul, and we can talk ourselves into and out of a number of things. However, we're going to get to that on another situation. Let's talk about when God speaks. God on the throne has some things he wants to say. He's always talking. So what he does is he talks to the Holy Spirit, because they are always in communication with one another, right? Now, the Holy Spirit within us then talks to us, and it passes up through our soul. Now, do you see why it was important for us to be still? To still our soul. Because the danger is, when it gets into our soul, what could happen if it's got things that it'll, you know, bitternesses, unforgiveness, or, you know, various hurts, it'll get deflected. It'll get bounced around. And it'll come out distorted. So that's where we want Jesus to be the savior of our soul. We need inner healing, it's called. Okay? So we need to continue to pass out forgiveness, because it'll distort what God's trying to say to us. God says, I love you, and it'll come out, God wants you to do better. Where did that come? Because we've had a performance mentality pushed on us. Our parents, when we came home with a B, always said, well, you should be getting an A. And all these kinds of, it doesn't matter what it is. The point is, it's possible. Because this needs to be redeemed. When it passes through the soul, it goes up into our mind. This is the first point at which it begins to register to us. Oh, okay. Is that where it initiated? No, it initiated with God. Now, all of these things happen in microseconds, right? God speaks to us. It goes up through our soul. It initiates in our mind, and then we have a thought. And that's the way that God speaks to us. Now, I'm stopping it there because we're just talking about God's flow of thought for ourselves. When we get into teaching about how to prophesy, you'll see something similar. Now, the reason I'm doing this is trying to remove some of the mystery of how God speaks, because this is where, and I've taught this all over the Ukraine, all over Kazakhstan, it's been taught all over Russia, it's just all over the place, because this is just, when you see this, it's just saying, okay, this is how it's going to work. Because the more shrouded in mystery, the less people will feel comfortable and step out and venture to hear God's voice. So that's why we're removing the veil, removing it so that we'll understand. God, we want to, you know, Lord, be Lord of my spirit. And by the way, be Lord of my soul and be Lord of my mind. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because even some of our teachings that we have had in the past can distort a pure word from God. So there's two potential sources of distortion, our soul and our mind. We said here we're going to bring, what, into captive every thought that is an argument against God, right? And likewise, it says in our soul, put off all bitterness and clamoring and anger. Why do we put those off? Because it'll distort what we want, what God is trying to say to us. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, any questions? Because we're going to move on to another diagram. Is it clear so far? Okay. So just understand that if we will take the time and still our body, still our soul, still our mind, shut out other voices, we'll be able to hear God's voice. I would recommend the place to start is writing down a journal. The simplest question is this. Write this question down and ask God, what do you think of me? And then listen. God, what do you think of me? Most of us will want to dismiss it because it'll come up. It'll be a pure word until it hits here or here. But we will hear the kinds of thing that God says. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've known you since before you were born. I've got plans for you. You'll hear those kinds of things. It'll be consistent with the Word of God. Well, let's talk about our own thoughts. How does that happen? It may oftentimes come out of our soul. Very often, thoughts come out of our soul, and we think it's God speaking. And then it goes around there, and it's not. It's not God. You know, it's our own thoughts. Well, then we got to look at this other guy, and he is Satan's. Now, he's a killer, a stealer, and destroyer, right? So he's going to try and say things that are somehow going to do what? Kill us or steal from us or destroy something from us. So notice I thought this was a better smiley. God's happy. He's got the crown. This guy's got no crown, but he's out to do harm. Right? He doesn't like believers. So many times he will send something through our soul, not through our spirit. And that's where we need to be able to discern, where are things coming from? Is it coming from my soul or my mind or my spirit? And who's the source? And it'll come up through your soul. Sometimes he'll try and plant a thought on your mind, and it'll be contrary to the Word of God. And these things will then go around in us, and we think we're hearing God. You know, you've blown it again. Why can't you just get on with it? Look, you've sinned so bad, I'll never be able to forgive you. Is that God? How do you know it's not God? Ah, exactly, because the Word of God says differently. Exactly. We will have our senses. Through knowledge, we'll have our senses trained to discern between the good, which is God, and the evil, which is there. So just be aware that that can happen. So this is God's intuitive flow. Now what I have done is I've made a little diagram for each of you. You guys can pass along here. On the front is this little diagram, and then on the back is a chart that we're just going to walk through to help you in working through what the God's voice sounds like. So this one doesn't have the lines on it, but we're just going to, if there's a spare one. I put together this little chart, testing or weighing the word, whether an image or voice is from Satan, self, or God. So let's first of all walk down. You see, it's three columns going down, but there's three tests that are going from left to right. First of all, let's look at what's Satan. We're going to find the origin. In other words, we're going to test the spirit. Satan's picture will be a flashing image or a flashing mental thought. Ask yourself this. Was my mind empty or idle? Does the image or thought seem obstructive? Does it obstruct me? Does it somehow, you know, clamp me up? Which way should we go? Let's go across from left to right. Now, if we're testing the origin, now let's go down. It'll make more sense. So if you go down, you need to test the origin. Secondly, test the content. So we're looking at what Satan's. It'll be negative, it'll be destructive, pushy, fearful, accusative. It violates the nature of God. It'll violate the word of God. And the image and thought is afraid to be attested. Sometimes it'll even appeal to your ego. Hey, you're just way over the top. There's no Christian like you. What's the problem there? It's called pride, you know. But Satan will try to do that. So if you have a picture or a word and it contains some of these things that create fear, or it accuses you, or it's against the nature of the word of God, you can begin to question it's not from God. Finally, look at the fruit under Satan. And you see that there's fear, or there's a compulsion, or a bondage, anxiety, confusion, or an inflated ego. You say, well, that's not from God. Okay, those are usually fairly easy to detect. If you're a believer and you've read the Word of God, you know these because they're fairly easy to detect, right? Because they're so contrary. It's the next one that sometimes is hard to detect from God. Let's go down from top to bottom through self. Again, let's examine the origin. Let's test the spirit. Was it a picture that was born in your mind? In other words, a painting of the picture. If I go back to this, hopefully get there. See, what, in other words, was it something that you can go back and you can say, okay, you know, I can see a house, and let's see, on the house is a nice, oh, it's a green roof, yeah, a green, and hey, there's shutters on the windows. You see, it's kind of a, if you can actually back up, if it's a picture that you can paint, or in other words, if it's a thought, was it born in meditation? Is it a progressive building of ideas? All right, we can, you know, do you follow what I'm getting, a building of ideas? If you're able to do that, then you say, well, it's probably myself. Go down to the content. We're going from top to bottom in the column of self. If the picture that you're getting is a painting of things that you've learned, it's probably from yourself. Or a thought is a consideration of things that I've learned. There are many things that we've learned, and learning is good. We just shouldn't say, well, this is the true voice of the Lord. Okay? And what's the fruit? Well, it's variable. It can sometimes be good, sometimes not, sometimes we're uncertain. But let's go over and see God's, the column of God's. The picture that God will give in the origin will be a living flow of pictures coming from your innermost being. You won't have to kind of think it up. Oh, let's see what color should I make. Oh, let's make it, you know, orange. And you won't have to do that. It'll all be there. By the way, when the Holy Spirit speaks, when God speaks into your spirit, he gives a complete revelation. It's complete. It's full. If he gives a picture, by the time it gets up to us, we may have only captured a few of the details. We actually can go back and consult with the Holy Spirit in our spirit, and he'll reveal more of the details. So when we're teaching people how to prophesy, they say, well, I see a ship. Okay, good. We'll ask them. And what size of ship? They don't have to. They just are simply consulting the Spirit. Oh, it was like a cruise liner, okay. So was it in a large body of water or a small body of water? No, it's out in the middle of the ocean. All right. And what was the waters like? Is it rough or is it calm? You see, the Holy Spirit, when God gives a revelation, the Holy Spirit has it all. The problem is sometimes it gets filtered as it goes up. Does that make sense? But we can, through training, have our senses so we know how to consult. So when the Holy Spirit gives you a picture, ask him to show more. And as I said, journal, write it out. What is it? You know, I see a person walking down a path. Okay. What age of person? How are they walking? Troubled or freely? You know, and ask, you don't have to make that up in your mind. You're not asking your mind. You're asking the Holy Spirit, and he will make it more clear. Now, if it's a thought, it'll be sensed in your innermost being, and those thoughts will, then they're formed. So you sense them down here, and then they up there. Here's the question. Was your inner being and mind quietly focused on Jesus? Remember what I said? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, let's examine the content that comes from God. It's instructive. It instructs us. It builds us up. It comforts us. Just look at the opposite column under Satan. It's negative, destructive, accuses us. Well, no. God instructs us. He builds us up. He comforts us. And the vision and thought accepts testing. In other words, I always recommend that some of you have a spiritual advisor, at least three. So when you take some of your journaling, you should not be fearful to submit it to a spiritual advisor, someone more mature than you, and say, would you just look this over to see if I'm picking up myself or Satan? You know, or is this really God? And it'd be evident right away, you know, to other people. Sometimes it's hard for us to make our own judgment. But it'll give you confidence that you're hearing God. So if some of you wish to bring some of your journaling, I'll gladly look through and tell you. Okay. Now let's look at the fruit. When God speaks, we're going to have a quickened faith. In other words, our faith will grow. We'll have a sense of power, of peace. There'll be good fruit. We'll be enlightened. We'll be knowledge. There'll be humility. These kinds of things will come about. Because this is what God is. He doesn't tear us down. He's here to build us up. The opposite, of course, is Satan. Fear, compulsion, push you down, anxiety. So this little chart will help you a whole lot. You know, if you say, well, it's clear I can pick up Satan's and be able to dismiss it, well, then just understand about how it comes about in ourself and begin to distinguish between that. And as you do, you become more and more confident in hearing God's word. Now, the place to start practicing this is in the quiet place by yourself. As you become familiar with that, you will find that God, and it becomes, you know, like just second nature, God will begin to speak to you out in the various places of life as you're interacting with people at the workplace and whatnot. And then when there are places when you are called, if some of you have been given the gift of prophecy, you are able then to prophesy. By the way, the spirit of prophecy works exactly like this, and everyone can prophesy. Okay? But the gift of prophecy is something different. Now, I know I've thrown a lot at you, but this is one of the basic habits of a disciple, because a disciple can hear God's voice. And so we need to go through and understand the differences and be able to walk through. And we need to regularly, my sheep hear my voice. You can do it. The scripture is full of people hearing God's voice. You can do it. You can make it a regular habit. Okay. Thank you. Questions? Comments?
getting words for other people, you know, and you think about, especially like healing words or something like that. Do you think as an intercessor, like if we speak a word, then like Elijah spoke a word, then he was almost like he was accountable for that word. He had to go out and pray, and almost like the cloud came, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that was a little... That was a little bit of a different situation. That was trying to change the whole spiritual environment of a country. Okay, God had pronounced cursing, judgment, and now he was trying to change the whole spiritual dynamic. So that's probably in a very deep level of getting a word for someone else. By the way, the process of hearing God's voice is true for ourselves. This process works for those who are intercessors, also works for those who are prophetic. The difference will be between an intercessor and a prophetic person is this one critical difference. Let me make a comment. Most intercessors don't get this and they end up overstepping their bounds. The difference is once it gets up into here, what do you do with it? Intercessors are supposed to aim it back to God. They're supposed to pray it back to God. Yes, they've had the vision or the picture or thought of God. It's come up, it's registered. They're not supposed to speak it to other people. They're supposed to say it back to God. And what intercessors most often do is they say, well, I've got a thought from God. It must mean I'm supposed to speak it out. But they haven't been given that grace to do that. They haven't learned the skills. They're speaking things that God doesn't want spoken out. He wants it spoken back to him. A prophetic person understands that there's the same process hearing God, but they understand that they've made the distinction, well, this is not for just for myself, which we always have to ask, is this for me or for someone else? They've said, okay, this is for someone else. So they've got this, but they pray it out, or they speak it out, they prophesy it out to someone else. There's a big difference right there between an intercessor and a prophetic person. Do they hear God? Absolutely. But where are they supposed to? They're supposed to pray it back to God. You know, cry unto me that the things that I've spoken will come about. That's what he calls for intercessors. Whereas prophetic people, same process. This is where if we get this down for ourselves, if our grace is that we are intercessors, then it'll be easier to pray the things God wants to come about. However, if we're prophetic, the same process, we will learn that it's not for ourselves, it's now for other people. But in the process of going from here to other people, there's a few other steps in here that need to occur. And that's the teaching on prophetic. But is the process of hearing God the same? Absolutely. You see, a lot of people who are prophetic may not have gotten the soul area cleaned up. And so you've heard this old saying, hurt people. Because their hurts are distorting the word of God. And it comes up, and it's distorting the word. The word of God comes up. The Holy Spirit speaks. It gets in their soul. It gets distorted. Then they may get distorted through their mind, and it comes out, a distorted word of God. And therefore, the hurt that's here causes hurt in someone else. So is the idea that hurt people shouldn't prophesy? No. The idea is that hurt people should get healed, right? That's the process. The hurt people should get healed. All of us should be healed by the Lord. All of us can give a word of encouragement, comfort, or edification. That's called the spirit of prophecy. It's the same process, hearing God. Now, I'm just going to give an illustration, if I may, Lynn. I'll use you as an example, because I see it happening during the worship. You are getting thoughts from God from the scripture. Right? So the Holy Spirit's giving you scriptures, they're coming up, they're registering in your mind, and I've seen you writing them down or giving yourself some references, and then you speak them out. It's the same process. You guys can do the same thing. Hear God. You know, that's the spirit of prophecy. encouraging, comforting, exhorting. Now, I haven't done it, but if it were to come out, you know, it's all written out in this protocol, that if you were to start to read a passage, "Woe, my people, for you have sinned greatly, you are missing the mark, all of you," I'd say, "Whoa, just a minute here." You know, you've moved from the green light area way over to the red light area, and that's my responsibility, because a spirit of prophecy will always be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting words. Now, if you take this and read this in light of what we've looked at today, this will make a whole lot more sense.
This is your last chance.
What's the problem with that? Does God say that kind of thing? Okay. Thank you for your patience. We're all going to be joining. We're going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to head over to Bruce and Lynn's. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this teaching. And thank you that you speak to us. Lord, may we always be hearing you all day long, all week long. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.